April 25, 1915.
There was just a hail of bullets.
The Anzac legend was born.
It was like hailstones in the water, the life of fire.
They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old.
And in years since,
age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn.
The men and women of the Australian Defence Force have served our country with distinction and valour.
At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
Sadly, lots of them return to our shores carrying both physical and psychological injuries. G'day, I'm John Schumann. Today, on Anzac Day, we pay tribute to those who have fought in our uniform, in our name.
We remember those who died in land campaigns, at sea and in the air.
I can remember Anzac Day from very early on because my father served in World War One and he used to march on Anzac Day.
Across the next hour, Triple M's Mick Molloy will speak to some of the brave men and women of the Australian Defence Force, hearing their stories from the battlefield.
There were three of us in the vehicle. I was on the side of where the bomb went off.
And hearing their stories about the battles they fight now.
Really wasn't until I had my first child that I started to have a bit of problem.
Across Australia, this is Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
That people is the voice of the great John Schumann. His songs are forever linked with Australia's military history. We'll play I Was Only 19 in a few minutes, and another of John's songs we've played each year on Triple M, Anzac Biscuits.
So make me Anzac Biscuits, make them sweet and gold, and bake them in our oven over glowing red gum cold.
I spent Anzac Day with John in Dar es Salaam in 2014. He performed on the back of the HMAS Darwin, and he told me what these iconic songs mean to him.
If 19 helped do one thing, it demonstrated to us as Australians that we can oppose a war that our government gets us into if yes. we want to. If that's what our conscience dictates, we must do it. But I don't, you know, I think we've learned that we will always respect and support the men and women that our government sends into those conflicts.
Yes.
You know, when we shouldn't count the cost either.
For the last few years, I've been an ambassador for Soldier On. This is an organisation that looks after the men and women who struggle once they come home and take off the uniform.
Initially, it was pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
So as soon as my duty was done, I started having some pretty horrific nightmares.
That's the voice of Todd Berry. He's former army and he's overcome a lot.
But when I was back in Malaysia in 99 and 98, it was nothing. It was just the bottle. It was pretty much it.
Wow.
In terms of counselling.
We'll hear more from Todd later in the special. I also have a chat with another Soldier On ambassador, former Prime Minister John Howard.
Mr Howard, if you wouldn't mind, would you join me for a game of two-up now? I think this is the only day of the year.
Yeah.
I'd love to play two-up with a former Prime Minister.
Yeah. You'd probably take me to the cleaners.
The former PM talks about his dad, a World War One digger.
Generally speaking, Dad didn't talk a lot, and I don't think that generation did.
It's a common theme, and it's what Soldier On is set up to do, get people talking. Channel 10's Hugh Rimmington is a Soldier On ambassador.
I was in Somalia during the attempts in the early 90s, January 93, and we were trying to settle a country. You know, there was a coalition of international troops there led by the Americans trying to settle out this Somalia was a total basket case.
While he may not be a soldier, he has been in some very tough places, and he's seen firsthand the impact war and conflict has on the young men and women of the Australian Defence Force.
Diggers had gone down there to provide some security for some aid workers who were trying to give out grain to some food to these completely starving people, and there were desperate scenes. They put up razor wire to try to protect this food. That's how bad it was. And you see these emaciated women literally throwing themselves on razor wire to try to get at this food. Mm. And 19-year-old Aussie diggers who were nice to their mum, who had, who had nothing in their training or their social upbringing
to be
prepared them to have sticks in their hands, bashing on the ground or on the razor wire, trying to threaten these women to calm them down.
As a country, we've asked much of our young people. Here's John Schumann singing about those 19-year-old men and what they went through.
This is Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
Mum and Dad and Denny saw the passing out parade, Pakapanyum. It was a long march from cadets.
and the 6th Battalion was the next to tour. It was me who drew the card. We did Canungra and Shoalwater before we left. And Townsville lined the footpaths as we marched down to the quay. This clipping from the paper shows us young and strong and clean. And there's me in me slouch hat with me SLR and greens. God help me, I was only 19. From Funtail, Pride and Chinooks to the dust at Newey Dat, I'd been in and out of choppers now for months. And we made our tents a home, VB and pin-ups on the lockers, and an Asian orange sunset through the scrub. And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? Night time's just a jungle dark and a barking M16. What's this rash that comes and goes? Can you tell me what it means? God help me, I was only 19. And a 4-week operation when each step could mean your last one on two legs. It was a war within yourself, but you wouldn't let your mates down till they had you dusted off. So you close your eyes and you thought about something else. And then someone yelled out, contact front! And the bloke behind me swore. We hooked in there for hours with a God almighty roar. And Frankie kicked a mine the day that mankind kicked the moon. God help me, he was going home in June. See Frankie drinking tinnies in the Grand Hotel on a 36-hour wreck leave in Funtail. And I can still hear Frankie lying screaming in the jungle till the morphine came and killed the bloody row. And the Anzac legends didn't mention mud and blood and tears, and the stories my father told me never seemed quite real. I caught some pieces in my back that I didn't even feel. God help me, I was only 19. And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? Why the Channel 7 chopper chills me to my feet? What's this rash that comes and goes? Can you tell me what it means? God help me, I was only 19.
John Schumann's I Was Only 19 on Triple M's Anzac Day special for Soldier On. If you want to know more about Soldier On, check out www.soldieron.org.au. There are plenty of ways to get involved. A few years ago, I met David Savage.
I'm a wounded ambassador with Soldier On.
David's story is slightly different. He was and is a civilian.
I was working in Afghanistan as part of the provincial reconstruction team as a civilian member with AusAid, and my role was doing development, helping to build clinics, schools and that kind of thing, as well as mentor the government officials there.
David and I shared a Black Hawk one day.
And I was returning back to the forward operating base St Mirwais in Chora, and we shared the chopper there for you and the others to do a gig up there.
Do a gig up there. Now, you said a terrible thing to me when you introduced yourself at the ball. You said, "Hi, it's good to see you again. I remember meeting you because that was the last day I ever had my legs or I ever walked." Because the next day, why don't you describe what happened the next day at Mirwais for us?
Yeah, the next day, I think it was a Monday, I think, and we had gone to a meeting with the Afghan district governor and had some discussions with him, and as we were walking back from the governor's office back to the forward operating base, it's only about 700 metres or so, and just when we're about 60 or 70 metres away from the front gate of the base, a 12-year-old child approached the patrol, which wasn't particularly unusual, but on this occasion the child had obviously been tricked or brainwashed, and he was carrying 8 kilograms of explosives, and he walked up to me, and either he or somebody else detonated the explosives about 3 metres from me. We were very lucky that that we had a group of Navy SEALs stationed at the base for a couple of weeks, and they were actually working out in the gym at the time the explosion took place, and they immediately responded in their shorts and t-shirts and came out and secured the area, but also administered first aid to us because the patrol medic was critically injured, so he wasn't able to help us, so they certainly saved our lives.
The attack killed the child, wounded 3 US soldiers and devastated David's body.
One of my memories was as we were waiting for our choppers, watching a medevac chopper come in, and I was evacuated on a Black Hawk medevac back into Tarrencown, and luckily for me and the others, we arrived to the hospital there in under what they call the golden hour, so it was about 50 minutes we got there, and we're into straight into the operating theatres. Of course, of the proximity of the blast, I was thrown about 10 metres by the blast.
10 metres. Think about that for a second. The distance was the least of David's issues.
I also had 64 7mm ball bearings go through me, mostly into my legs and arms, because I had a ballistic vest and a helmet on. I was taken to Germany and then spent another 4 months in hospitals in Australia, and I've had, I think, 19 major surgeries since then. And one of the ball bearings is actually my spine, and I'd actually been walking for a couple of years, but unfortunately the one in my spine has irritated some of the nerves, and I lost movement in my right leg. But
for everyone listening, David's in a wheelchair.
I've been in a wheelchair for about 13 months now, but I'm just starting to get a little bit of movement.
Soldier On is helping David recover and rebuild. In a few minutes, I'll introduce you to Garth Callender.
I'm one of the really lucky ones. So, you know, my wife says that I got rugged Mediterranean good looks from a bomb going off at
a
deep place.
Yeah, kind of good looking rooster.
Yeah, thank you.
For someone who has visible facial scars, it's kind of worked out for you.
Thank you. I was never particularly pretty, so yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I'd pop on an eye patch if I were you, you'd be rocking it.
Paying tribute to our returned servicemen and women.
We landed on the beach and tramped up into a little valley, Shrapnel Valley, it was named, with good effect too. The Turks had that constantly under shell fire. We could hear a lot of rifle and machine gun fire going off further up the hill. So that made us realise then that things were really getting serious.
This is Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
Who's gonna pick you? Who's gonna bend your rules? Who's gonna be your pride? Who's gonna play your fool? 'Cause nobody knows just how it feels today. Nobody sees.
Thank you. gonna reel you in. Who makes advisor ties? Who's gonna be there at the end? Cause nobody knows just how it feels today.
Across Australia, this is Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
I've actually done three deployments. I did
yes.
two to Iraq in 2004, and then again in 2006, and then in Afghanistan 2009, 2010.
That's Garth Callender. He's a former captain in the Australian Army.
In 2004, I was wounded over there. Quite simply, I was running the armoured vehicle troop over there, which was... its job was to protect the diplomatic staff working the embassy, but also to take them around the greater Baghdad area so they could, you know, do their diplomatic function. One morning, my patrol was targeted by a roadside bomb or an improvised explosive device.
And what was the outcome of that event? You said you were wounded. What were the extent of your wounds?
Yeah, so there were three of us in the vehicle. I was on the side of where the bomb went off, and I was exposed to it. So I was the worst injured. So I had burns to my face and neck, and some fragmentation wounds to my face and neck as well, and some reasonable concussion. So we were travelling about 60 kilometres an hour when the bomb went off, and then we careered across the road into a tree.
He suffered serious wounds, but that didn't stop Garth. You heard him give his deployment schedule earlier.
Two to Iraq in 2004, and then again in 2006, and then in Afghanistan 2009, 2010.
That's right, you heard correctly. He went back.
Yeah, well, I was a relatively young guy, sort of in my mid-20s, and it's that whole thing, you know, unless you're deployed overseas, you're not really doing the job for real. In some weird, twisted way, felt that I'd been a little bit robbed of my overseas deployment because of being cut short. And I'd gone up a rank, a bit of responsibility, so I had an opportunity to go over as a second in command for the full combat team, so 110 soldiers. And I thought I'd the best guy for the job. I'd seen face-to-face what the enemy's weapons could do. I knew the environment. And I knew all the training the guys need to do to best protect themselves to go overseas.
Garth now works for the New South Wales government in Veterans Affairs. And he's an ambassador for Soldier On. And his book, After the Blast, tells his story in great detail. While you're getting ready to listen to the footy, or have a barbecue with friends, or play two up at your local RSL, think about the men and women like Garth. Today is the day we thank them for their service.
You're listening to Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On. Across Australia, this is Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
Over the years, I've been privileged to spend some time with the Australian Defence Force all over the world. Dar es Salaam, Afghanistan, the Middle East region. I'm always incredibly impressed with the men and women who are serving our country overseas. And so is this guy.
They're not only great war fighters, they're great ambassadors for Australia.
Yeah.
And they leave behind a very positive legacy. They treat the locals well. They don't push them around.
That's former Prime Minister John Howard. He's a Soldier On ambassador too.
The work that Soldier On is doing is superb because it's caring for people. Some people handle adversity differently.
Yes.
Some do it well, some don't. And you've got to have a safety net, and you've got to have a human safety net. And that's what Soldier On is providing.
I talked to the former PM in Sydney at a fundraiser for Soldier On. I was a guest. He was the keynote speaker. After his speech, we sat in a dressing room at Opera Australia and talked about Anzac Day.
I can remember Anzac Day from very early on because my father served in World War One, and he used to march on Anzac Day. So from a very early age, we would go into the Anzac Day march in Sydney. And that continued, and then later on, long after he died, and I kept that custom. I felt it was something that I owed to him. And then when I went into public life, of course, Anzac Day involved going to a lot of local Anzac Day commemorations in places like North Ryde in Sydney, which was in my electorate, and Lane Cove and so forth.
And Canberra.
And then later on, obviously, as Prime Minister, and then on a number of occasions, I spent Anzac Day with troops overseas. Anzac Day 2004, I attended the service at Baghdad Airport, and I also went to Kanchanaburi in Thailand, Hellfire Pass, and then on other occasions I spent Anzac Day with troops elsewhere. So obviously as Prime Minister I had some particular commitments on Anzac Day, but I've never forgotten the origin of that involvement, and I have remained in awe of that generation, the two great generations of Australians who went World War One and World War Two, and then, of course, in the later generations, went to Korea, Vietnam, and then very recently Iraq and Afghanistan.
Can I ask, did your father ever talk to you about his experiences?
He only intermittently. I think, as General Hurley said a moment ago, there was a tendency to say to people after World War One, not a tendency, it was the therapy, forget about it, get on with your lives.
Yes.
And Dad talked about it a little bit. In fact, around Anzac Day, the last year that he was alive, and I was only 16 when he died, and he talked a lot, he reminisced a lot, and he described how he'd, towards the end of the war, he was a signalman and he was taking somebody out, taking them to the back of the lines, and this fellow, an officer, he'd been in the war for 3.5 years, and they came under attack, and I've never forgotten my father saying this. He said to me, "I've been in this bloody place for 3.5 years, and nothing's happened. Now I'm going to get killed on the way out."
Oh dear!
I don't know whether he did or he didn't, but it was just something that stuck in my mind. But generally speaking, Dad didn't talk a lot, and I don't think that generation did.
You just spoke beautifully inside a minute ago as an ambassador for Soldier On, how important it is to you. You described your 12 years as Prime Minister of this country, but you said that there was no more important decisions you made during that time than those regarding the service of our men and women.
Well, they were the hardest decisions because you're putting people's lives on the line. And in the end, it's your responsibility. You're the head of the government. And although there's full discussion and it's a collective responsibility, in the end, the person at the very top has the most influence and has the final say, and they are very heavy decisions, but I was always encouraged by the belief that the advice I was getting from the Australian Defence Force on military matters was first class.
Thank you very much, Mr. Howard. And if you wouldn't mind, would you join me for a game of two-up now? I think this is the only day of the year.
Yeah.
And I'd play two-up with a former Prime Minister.
Yeah, you'd probably take me to the cleaners. Yeah.
Here's hoping.
Okay, thanks.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers.
This is Mick Molloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
So can you hear me, darling girls, above the cannon's roar? And if you could, I know you would, deliver me from this war.
The sky above is broken, and the stars are hard and cold. And the shells are screaming overhead, I'm crouching in a hole. I've seen tremendous courage, I've seen grown men crying tears. And the terrifying prospect is this war could last for years. The rain cuts like a crosscut saw, wind cuts like a knife.
I miss my darling daughter, and I miss my darling wife. So make me Anzac biscuits, make them sweet and gold. And bake them in our oven over glowing red gum coals. To let them cool, wrap them tight, and put them in a tin.
They'll find me in a trench somewhere, but God alone knows when. The pink Australian light of evening faded from the land. And the soldier's darling wife took their daughter by the hand.
We'll make Dad Anzac biscuits, he likes them sweet and strong. It's almost been a year since our courageous soldier's gone. We'll wrap them up with all our love, send them with a prayer. They will find him safe and sound somewhere over there. So they made him Anzac biscuits, and they made them sweet and gold. And they baked them in their oven over glowing red gum coals. And they let them cool, and they wrapped them tight, and sent them with a prayer.
And they found him living in a trench somewhere over there.
My darling daughter, and I miss
my darling wife. And I miss my darling daughter, and I miss my darling wife. And I miss my darling daughter, and I miss my darling wife.
Across Australia, this is Mick Malloy's Anzac Day special tribute for Soldier On.
That's the song Anzac Biscuits, a song I first heard sitting with John Schumann in Tanzania waiting for the HMAS Darwin to arrive for Anzac Day.
Well, I was commissioned to write a song by the South Australian Schools Music Festival on an illustrated children's book by a mate of mine, Phil Carmings, and the book's called Anzac Biscuits, and it's a story of a mum and a little girl who are baking Anzac biscuits for Dad, who's away in the trenches in the First World War. It's a really interesting concept, and you know, it starts off, you know, the mum and the little girl are in the kitchen and they're going to make Anzac biscuits for Dad, who's away. So they open the cupboard door and all the pots and pans fall out. Bang, crash, boom.
Yes.
And then you turn the page and then there's the young soldier, and he is quite young.
Yes.
In the trench, and artillery's flying, you know, bang, crash, boom, and he's really sort of frightened. And then you turn the page and they're back in the kitchen and they shake out some flour on the cooking board. And then you turn the page and the snow's gently falling on the young soldier in the trench. So that's the idea behind the book. And I was commissioned to write a song, you know, to reflect the book.
Todd Berry is another Soldier On ambassador.
I spent 18 years in the Australian Defence Force in Army. I was a major when I retired. I joined up as a soldier and I was in infantry and special operations.
Todd found himself in a situation no amount of training could prepare him for.
Yeah, look, in a nutshell, one of our vehicles had a head-on collision with a bus. We lost 5 guys instantly.
Yep.
So I provided first aid of the accident scene and also recovered the bodies all the way back to Australia, which included sleeping at the morgue, witnessing the autopsies, and then recovering them back to their loved ones.
Okay. How'd you go out the back of that? Life-changing events go, I imagine they don't get any bigger.
Yeah, no, it was massive. And I think the big thing for me was I'd do it all again tomorrow, because I did the right thing and I looked after those blokes as best as I could. And
what was the date of the accident?
23rd of September 1993.
And how was it reported at home?
Well, not that well, particularly in Sydney. We'd just been awarded the Olympics for 2000, so our accident sort of appeared about page 3 or 4 in the Sydney papers, so it was a bit of a kick in the guts, really.
Todd struggled to cope when he came back.
As soon as my duty was done, I started having some pretty horrific nightmares.
Mm.
Got a bit of counselling from our unit padre.
Mm.
But it really wasn't until I had my first child, as a parent, that I started to have a bit of problem. And then when I got posted back to Malaysia for 5 years and I would go past that accident site every day on the way to and from work, it was kind of reliving and re-experiencing it.
Mm. And at that time, what was available to you? What kind of counselling on the go? And remember, this is 93 and it's not that long ago. What was available to you at that point?
At the time, we had a bit of group sessions with the army psychologists. But when I was back in Malaysia in 99 and 98, it was nothing. It was just the bottle. It was pretty much it.
Wow.
Todd has recovered and now he tries to help in any way he can.
Because we've got a lot of guys and girls that are doing it tough.
Yeah.
You know, some that are in prison, a lot that are homeless. We've got men and women that are taking their own life.
Yes.
So understanding, I think, is really important. Supporting our ex-service organisations like Soldier On, I think that's paramount.
Do you feel Australians, per se, the general public now, are on board and understand what's going on?
Yep. Especially with mental health. You know, years ago, it was a real taboo. No one talked about it. No one went and sought help. And a lot of the guys and girls that have been affected by their service, they put their hand up and they get the help they need, which is great.
Today, things are different. Organisations like Soldier On are helping and making sure the conversations are taking place and that we never forget the sacrifices being made on a daily basis. John Bale is the CEO and co-founder of Soldier On.
Afghanistan, for most people, it's over. Yep. We've still got troops there, but yes, it's over for most. And obviously, it's the next thing. The news cycle is 24-7. Yes. It's on to something else. Unfortunately, it's just trying to get people to understand that we as a community have a responsibility, and that responsibility doesn't end when the war ends. It actually starts in many instances.
Thanks a lot, guys, for listening today. On Anzac Day, we honour the men and women who have served, are serving, and will serve one day. Thank you to all of them and their families, lest we forget.